Going to go ahead and call us back into order. We are on general order day three, where amendments are voted on and the order received. First bill is ONCA 1857, an act to establish in Osage law a budgetary process governed by the principles of transparency and accountability, defining terms and establishing limitations, and to establish an alternate effective date. Sponsor is Congressman Potts. First amendment, presented by Congresswoman Goodfox, is page 6, lines 261 and 262. Strike lines 261 and 262. Is there any discussion regarding the amendment? Congresswoman Edwards?
If I understand, that's the amendment that prohibits line item shifting above and below, what we call above and below the line, from administrative to non-administrative expenses. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay, so whoever is the sponsor of the amendment, could you speak to the issue of how that will be tracked with respect to, I mean, my understanding of why that's there has to do with indirect costs and the amount of indirect costs that are charged. And so you can keep track by looking at non-administrative expenses that aren't chargeable for indirect costs. So if that is allowed, how will that be tracked? And then will that possibly impact our indirect cost rate?
I'm going to let the speaker respond, because we all know that this was a courtesy amendment that
I'll take it from here.
He brought.
Okay, I did ask Congresswoman Goodfox to propose this amendment. So to answer that question, one, it would be tracked the same way that moving money below the line to, or above the line to below the line, is tracked now. Right now, the money that is moved above the line to below the line ultimately ends up in the retained revenue fund. So if money is moved below the line to above the line, it would be tracked in the same way. And I guess to answer the question, how would it affect the IDC rate? It would, from what I've been told, and I've been discussing this with the executive branch along with the controller this morning, is it would probably be real close to a wash, typically, because it is happening. Money is moving from below the line to above the line currently. And the typical practice is that more money is moved from above the line to below the line, so there would be no impact on the IDC rate.
So the current law allows for money to be moved above the line to below the line? If that's the case, why do we need this amendment?
That falls within the Budget Parameter and Limitations Act.
So we currently have a law that prohibits it.
That law has been deemed unconstitutional for quite some time, and I think the current practice, and I'm kind of getting a little bit outside of my expertise here, and I see Congressman Potts with his hand up, but my response to that is that it's been the treasurer's stance and practice that limits his ability to administer the nation's funds. Congressman Potts.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would agree with some of the comments that have been made. It can present a problem, and that was my initial discussion with the author of the amendment. Shifting above and below the line without a mechanism to track the indirect cost that goes with it. If that money's not moved, it can and potentially will impact your IDC rate 2 years down the road. Money going from above the line to below the line will create a problem currently, because that money is budgeted to have IDC collected on it. So if that IDC is not collected and does not go into the IDC pool, you will run a deficit in your IDC pool. So it's in question, and the reason it was in the Budget Control Act is because that section of the law was not ruled unconstitutional. The specific language of does Congress have the ability to regulate line item shifting, and on this level, it's open for interpretation, but I don't believe the court struck that down. The reasoning was funds were being treated differently. So in addition to that, the court said that we have the ability to regulate line item shifting as long as it does not manage the entity's budget. So in the spirit of compromise, I'm acceptable to the amendment, knowing that it's going to be on the treasurer to manage that entity's budget and keep an eye on that IDC rate. Now, 2 years down the road, if we find out that that's not happening, we're going to have to find some solution in law for that.
Congresswoman Edwards?
So Congressman Potts, does the current law prohibit line item shifting above and below the line?
I would say that the remaining provisions from what was not struck down by the court would indicate yes.
So if it goes away, we still have this law?
No. Okay. That section would be repealed.
And I'm not saying this.
That section of the law will be repealed?
Yes.
So the law, you're repealing whatever's left of budget parameters?
Correct.
Okay. So the law would not be in place. It would be gone. That section of the law would be gone.
The provisions in the Budget Control Act were meant to replace what was remaining from the Supreme Court decision.
All right.
So that section in 1857 repeals what was remaining from Standing Bear versus Pratt. It replaces that section in Osage law.
Okay.
And I'm not bringing this up to be persuasive, and someone else can help remember this. Wasn't there an Attorney General's opinion regarding this? I think there was, and I realize that there's no, what is it, the safe haven provision or still in law, but it seems like there was an Attorney General's opinion that I want to say gave permission, but their opinion was that the treasurer was able to move the money from below the line to above the line. In the spirit of administering the nation's funds. Congresswoman Edwards.
So this would be an example where the treasurer, what's in the law is not necessarily how the nation reports to the federal government regarding something, regarding a budget. In other words, you don't look at the law to see what indirect costs are being charged against because we don't have the heading administrative and non-administrative expenses.
Congressman Potts.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I don't believe that the amendment does away with the titles of administrative and non-administrative expenses.
It allows money to be moved.
Correct.
Through a budget modification.
It would be through a budget modification, yes.
Or a budget amendment.
Or a budget amendment, yes.
Okay.
Congresswoman Whitehorn.
From my experience, what we do here in this body is when the budgets are submitted, there are certain and specific budgets within the executive branch that are totally funded with IDC funds. When we start out the process, we make sure that the IDC that is in administrative costs that is collected is adequate to fund the budgets that are requesting to be funded by IDC funds. It's a balance. And in my view, it's important to know that in the beginning, to legislate in that way that we fully intend for those funds to be drawn for the expenses of that program to be taken out of the IDC cost pool. I think it's our duty and obligation to know that we're adequately collecting enough, and we place it in legislation to say that this is the way that the appropriation is intended to be spent. In my view, my reading of what's left of the Budget Control Act, and I think we have had council's agreement budget parameters. The Supreme Court says that line item shifting is within the power of the Congress to legislate. I think it's important for transparency of it all to be on the same page when we start and to know how the people's money is going to be allocated. I can see this being problematic in the movement of the monies. Money that has not been slated for IDC, if you move it upward, IDC is going to need to be collected on it. If it's above the line and you move it down, then you're lessening that IDC cost pool. So without any checks and balances in law to know the movement of money, I suppose compromise is a good thing. But I'm not comfortable with it because I believe that our laws should direct and point to how the Osage people's money is handled. So that's my opinion on the amendment. I'm out. I'd like to hear other members how they feel about that. So thank you.
Congresswoman Edwards.
So by example, if the legislative branch decided through an amendment to their appropriation to move a substantial amount of money from above the line salaries and wages to below the line professional fees, okay, not salaries and wages, sorry, some other item besides salaries and wages to below the line, it's up to the treasurer then to monitor that and come to the Congress and say, you can't do that because, or we suggest you not do that because that's going to impact the indirect cost, right?
I'm not sure about that. I would say no, but I'm not real sure that that's really germane to this amendment. I mean, I guess it can be, but
I'm just trying to figure out logistically, if you take that out, who monitors, and I just used us as an example because I thought it would be possible that we as a Congress might do that, and then perhaps we're not paying attention, and it does impact the indirect cost rate. So I'm trying to figure out who would be charged with monitoring. And I guess the answer is right now nobody, right? Because we don't have it in law.
I guess my answer to that would be it's happening now. Congresswoman Stabler?
The executive does have a process, and the treasurer is the final signature on a modification, if that's what we're talking about, is the budget mod.
For the Congress, I don't believe so.
Congressman Potts.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In this instance specifically, I believe that responsibility would fall with the second speaker, who's the chief financial officer of the legislative branch.
Okay.
Okay, seeing no more hands up, we're going to move on to a vote. Is everyone clear on the amendment? Roll call vote, please.
Congresswoman Edwards.
No.
Congresswoman Goodfox.
Yes.
Congresswoman Lemon.
Yes.
Congressman Mason.
Yes.
Congressman Potts.
Yes.
Congresswoman Pratt.
Yes.
Congresswoman Stabler.
Yes.
Congressman Tillman.
No.
Congresswoman Whitehorn.
No.
Congressman Big Horse.
Yes.
Speaker Walker.
Yes. The amendment passes. We'll move to the next amendment, which is my amendment from yesterday, which was page 7, line 278. Insert the following new paragraph, F. The Minerals Council is exempt from the budget limitations set forth in this section. Without objection, I withdraw that motion. It would be in conflict with the motion I made today. Okay, seeing no objection, we'll move to the next amendment, which is on page 2, line 57, page 4, line 151. Strike 95% and insert 98%. discussion? Casey, Congressman Potts, and Congresswoman Whitehorn.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This provision in the Budget Control Act comes almost straight out of Oklahoma state law, where revenue projections are just that. They have to be realized at a reasonable level before they can be spent. And I think that that's responsible when budgeting. In my own family, I don't spend every penny that I bring in the door. There's money for savings, there's money for capital assets, there's money set aside. And I think the spirit of the provision of not appropriating 100% is a worthy endeavor. But again, in the spirit of compromise, I understand that 98% is the same as 95%. So I too will be supporting this amendment. It's meant to move us in the direction of where we don't appropriate every penny. And I believe that even setting aside a 2% margin of error is acceptable at this time. I would like to keep an eye on it for the next couple of years and see how much of that revenue we realize. And if it becomes a bigger issue, we can readdress it. But I will be supporting the amendment.
Anyone else? Congresswoman Whitehorn.
Well, I can support the amendment in the spirit of compromise, but I just want to put out there that I did have a conversation with the treasurer about that. And as we have sat at the committee table for appropriations this session, we have found pockets of revenue that have not been reported, as evidenced by the treasurer's FY19 amended totals. And I think it's safe to say that knowing those little pockets of money were scattered about within the Treasury or gave some confidence that we could appropriate up to $60,000, which we have done as a body, and there was a comfort level with that. But if we're going to do stricter reporting of all the revenues of the nation, and we find ourselves in a position where our revenue projections, such as the permanent fund, were off by $150,000. I think since we appropriate in accordance with projections, that a percentage in there offers a cushion for when we have projected revenue shortfalls and that number's not correct. I just want to make the body aware that I realize that that percentage is put in for protections for the Osage people's money and how our programs continue. I will support this amendment at 98%, but I really feel more comfortable with the 95% number. So thank you for letting me speak on that.
Anyone else? Congresswoman Edwards?
I think what you said is we had appropriated down to having only $60,000 available as projected revenue in tribal revenue for a year?
Yes.
I'm sorry, can I follow
yes.
up with her? And so if there was a mistake somehow in our revenue projection, then we risked being over annual revenue project or some number that we were trying to keep within.
You can respond.
They were constitutionally required to keep within. I mean, projection is just that, it's a projection.
All right.
Congresswoman Edwards, you still have the floor.
Well, I just feel like we are continuing to tighten up our budget process, but I don't think we're to the point that we are exact, and it's a projection, and we know that we go over projections and we don't meet projections. So I liked the 5% cushion. I guess I would say I agree, why are we moving it downwards? Because we just feel like we have that much control over the budget, or is there some other reason? And I would direct that to the proponent.
Okay, glad to address that. Just using $50 million as as the number, which is pretty much it. 5% would be $2.5 million. 2% would be $1 million. I think $1 million is reasonable. I think it's a safeguard. It allows money to be saved. And $2.5 million right now, as we all know, I think that's going to cause some problems with administering our programs and services that we're currently providing. That's my response. Anyone else? Roll call vote, please.
Congresswoman Good Fox.
Yes.
Congresswoman Lemon.
Yes. Yes.
Congressman Mason.
Yes.
Congressman Potts.
Yes.
Congresswoman Pratt.
Yes.
Congresswoman Stabler.
Yes.
Congressman Tillman.
No.
Congresswoman Whitehorn.
Yes.
Congressman Big Horse.
Yes.
Congresswoman Edwards.
Yes.
Speaker Walker.
Yes. The amendment passes. Next amendment is page 7, line 295. Insert the following new section and renumber the remaining sections. 3, insert a new section at 15 ONC section 1A-109.2. Section 1A-109.2, Osage Minerals Council exemption. The Osage Nation Minerals Council is exempt from this act. Discussion? Seeing none, roll call vote, please.
Congresswoman Lemon.
Yes.
Congressman Mason.
Yes.
Congressman Potts.
Yes.
Congresswoman Pratt. Sorry. Congresswoman Stabler.
Yes.
Congressman Tillman.
Yes.
Congresswoman Whitehorn.
Yes.
Congressman Big Horse.
Yes.
Congresswoman Edwards.
Yes, sorry.
Congresswoman Good Fox.
Yes.
Speaker Walker.
Yes, amendment passes. Next amendment is page 3, line 95, strike certify and insert approve. Also on page 3, line 105, strike certification and insert approved. Also on page 3, line 123, strike certification and insert approved. Is there any discussion? Congressman Potts.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This is request language from the Treasurer after a discussion and appropriation yesterday evening. Treasurer felt that the word certify needed to have a test applied to it at some level. So even though it is a certification of revenue estimates, I'm more than willing to work with the Treasurer, so this language changes it to approved and approval.
Thank you. Anyone else? Okay, seeing none. All those in favor say yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Anyone opposed say no. Okay, that amendment passes. Okay, those are all of the amendments. Congresswoman Edwards?
Move to advance ONCA number 1857 from general order to third reading on tomorrow's agenda.
After engrossment.
Yes.
Second.
Motion by Congresswoman Edwards to advance ONCA 1857 from general order day 3 to third reading on tomorrow's agenda after engrossment. It was seconded by Congresswoman Whitehorn. No discussion. This is a rule suspension. All those in favor say yes.
Yes.
Any opposed, say no. Okay, ONCA 1857 is advanced. Okay, we're going to move now to bills and resolutions on third reading. First bill is ONCA 1909, an act to appropriate $523,659 of federal SAMHSA grant funds to the Counseling Center for the Medication-Assisted Treatment Program and to establish an alternate effective date. The sponsor is Congresswoman Stabler. You have 8 minutes. Congresswoman, how would you like to proceed?
I'll close.
Are there any members who wish to speak for or against this bill? Seeing none, Congresswoman Stabler.
I'll waive my time.
Okay, the question is, shall ONCA 1909 pass?
Congressman Mason.
Yes.
Congressman Potts.
Yes.
Congresswoman Pratt.
Yes.
Congresswoman Stabler.
Yes.
Congressman Tillman.
Yes.
Congresswoman Whitehorn.
Yes.
Congressman Big Horse.
Yes.
Congresswoman Edwards.
Yes.
Congresswoman Goodfox.
Yes.
Congresswoman Lemon.
Yes.
Speaker Walker.
Yes, the bill passes. There is an alternate effective date. All those in favor of the alternate effective date passing, say yes.
Yes. Yes.
Any opposed, say no. Okay, the alternate effective date passes. Move on to ONCA 1916, an act to insert a new section at 15 ONC, section 5-107, to require the assistant principal chief or his or her designee to notify the Osage Nation Congress of a board member or commission member resignation within 5 business days and to establish an alternate effective date. Sponsor is Congressman Potts. Congressman Potts, you have 8 minutes. How would you like to proceed?
I'll close.
Are there any members who wish to speak for or against this bill? Congresswoman Goodfox.
Thank you, Speaker, members of Congress, those in attendance. I agree that we've had some issues with Congress being notified. I will say this, all of Congress being notified that we've had a board vacancy, but I firmly believe that it doesn't just fall with executive. I think that there's a duty for executive, the Speaker of Congress, and even committee chairs where the board lies with jurisdiction into that committee. And I've known on a couple of occasions where a speaker has been informed and maybe, and even a chair of a committee has been informed, but the rest of the committee was not informed. So I think that it's important that we're informed, but that it doesn't just solely lie with executive. I think that even the chair of the board should be notifying people as well. I would like to see something addressed in law where it has everyone addressed and not just the executive branch. There's no, and the author can speak to this when he gets up, I don't think there's a consequence if this law is broken. I didn't see one in there. So I'm just not in the habit right now anymore. We've passed several laws where there is no consequence. One of those being 15 ONC 1201, where it says, Congress will have OFPR. The last date that we had an employee in OFPR was March 21st, 2018. So I'm in agreement that it's important, but I don't want to exclude everyone else that needs to be held accountable for informing all of Congress that a board vacancy is there. I think everyone that has that duty should be included in this. So I'll be voting no.
Is there anyone else who would like to speak for or against this bill? C Seeing none, Congressman Potts.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This bill arose from a need that I saw where we went an extended period of time without board members operating. And the Congress was, the whole Congress was unaware. This law would require that the assistant principal chief notify Congress within 5 business days for positions that are confirmed by this body, by the Constitution. I would agree with some of the comments that maybe the chair of the board should be the one responsible for notifying, but regardless of who notifies who, these are executive branch boards. They do not report to this body. They report to the executive branch. So even if we put a requirement on the board chair or any remaining board members, their responsibility would be to report to the executive branch where these boards lie. That's why the bill was written to have the executive branch notify this body, because their first notification of a board vacancy should be to the executive branch. Previous speaker is correct in saying there is no penalty. I don't think it's a good idea to impose a penalty on this, but in the spirit of openness, the body that's responsible for confirming these members, we should be notified when there's a vacancy within 5 days. And that, I think that was even a compromise and an amendment offered by the assistant principal chief. So I think this is needed. These are executive branch boards. I do believe it's the executive branch's responsibility to report when there is a vacancy. Thank you very much.
The question is, shall Bill number ONCA 1916 pass?
Congressman Potts.
Yes.
Congresswoman Pratt. No. Congresswoman Stabler.
Yes.
Congressman Tillman.
Yes.
Congresswoman Whitehorn.
Yes.
Congressman Big Horse.
Yes.
Congresswoman Edwards.
Yes.
Congresswoman Goodfox.
No.
Congresswoman Lemon.
No.
Congressman Mason.
Yes.
Speaker Walker.
Yes. Bill passes. There is an alternate effective date. All those in favor of the alternate effective date passing say yes.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Any opposed say no. The alternate effective date passes. ONCA 1916 is referred to enrollment. To go back, I don't believe I have referred ONCA 1909 to enrollment. I'll do so at this time. Okay, we'll move on to ONCA 1917, an act to establish a revolving fund for the Pawhuska Village to authorize expenditures out of the fund and to establish an alternate effective date. Sponsor is Congressman Potts. You have 8 minutes, sir. How would you like to proceed?
I'll close.
Are there any members who wish to speak for or against this bill? Congresswoman Stabler.
Thank you. This bill is, again, something that's kind of a corrective action. The village, of course, has funds that can only be expended in the village, currently in Pawhuska, but we also are looking at the future when there's going to be actual budgeted funds that will be going out there. And these funds are treated as if they are donations. And so for them to be penalized, unlike others that we give donations to, like the military services and stuff, they don't have to return their funds. So the same thing for the villages. I'd like to see them be able to use those funds and save up for projects, or at least, you know, any projects. Right now they don't have a lot left over, but any projects that they have, they can build up their funds and save it to expend it. And I think it's fair and makes it equal with the other donations that this body presents. Thank you.
Are there any other members who wish to speak for or against this bill? Congresswoman Edwards.
I would just like some clarification, and if the sponsor could, or could give me that clarification when he speaks. My question is, are these operational funds for an entity within the Osage Nation government, or are they some other kind of funds? So that's my question. To me, when we're talking about operational funds, if that's the case here, then these entities are really no different than other entities within the nation that are provided an annual appropriation of funds to undertake their operations. If this is something different, and I think a donation was alluded to, and maybe that is what that is, if what this is, and if that's the case, then could you speak to that? Because I would think if we do this now, we're going to set the precedent that any entity can request that their operational funds be placed in a fund, so to speak, not subject to fiscal year limitations. And if that's the direction that the Congress is going to go, then I think we're going to have an issue going forward. I know that there are some funds that aren't subject to fiscal year limitation through the federal government, but I do believe that the way that you have to keep your funds from lapsing is to either encumber them or to place them in a fund. So those are questions I have. Thank you.
Congresswoman Pratt.
Thank you, Speaker. I was just trying to pull up the original, so I just wanted to help. I'm not sure if I'm going to clarify, but I wanted to respond to Congresswoman Edwards' comments from, I was just going to say, in the fall session. I don't know if everyone remembers this, but at the very last minute when we were getting ready to vote on the big appropriation bill, I recalled a conversation that I had with the five-man board chair who was kind of getting on to me for their funds, the $50,000 that's appropriated to the Hominy Village, that it didn't roll over. And then we had that discussion, so I did some research with accounting because I could have swore we did that, but they informed me that that hasn't been happening, and I recall the conversation that we had maybe my first year on Congress, and I remember where we were and that Speaker Walker had stated to them when they came to talk that we would get that fixed for them. And so we didn't remember to do that, and right before we voted on that bill, I think I even had to ask to have it put back for amendments, and we just kind of did a quick fix. And then Congresswoman Whitehorn, that was a suggestion by several people at the table, was a quick fix, and that Congresswoman Whitehorn asked me if I would, and Congressman Potts put in to a separate bill at a later time so that their funds could be revolving. So I just wanted to kind of give that history to remind you, and then also those who weren't here, but I will let the sponsor speak to the any appropriation that might go into this forthcoming, but I'm assuming it's the same appropriation that they've been getting year after year, but it will go into this fund now and be tracked through this fund separately, and therefore it can also roll over. Thank you. I just wanted to give that timeline. Thank you.
Congresswoman Whitehorn.
Thank you. First of all, I'd like to say I support this bill, and I do remember the conversations we had at the end of budgetary session. And regarding Hominy and Gray Horse, $50,000 isn't a lot of money to be responsible for running a committee and keeping doing the maintenance and upkeep on the projects and the money we've invested into these communities. that are ours. I support them being able to maintain their appropriation into their separate fund. And something Congresswoman Edwards said, or maybe alluded to, and hopefully I didn't misunderstand, but they do use these funds to operate those communities. But I don't consider it an operational budget, and they are not just like any other program or department at the nation or constitution sets them aside differently. It says in Article 14, Section 1, it says, the recognized villages of the Osage Nation are A, the Gray Horse Indian Village, B, the Pahuska Indian Village, and C, the Hominy Indian Village. The Osage Nation Congress recognizes and respects that each village has its own traditions, customs, and history. And they do, and they're set aside for the benefit of the people, the residents living there, also the use of the people that come down to enjoy our dances and do our wonderful celebrations, our sad goodbyes at our funerals. So there are communities that are there are communities and there are places set aside for all Osage people. I don't consider them to have an operational budget, and I'm glad that we have these funds set aside. Thank you.
Anyone else wish to speak for or against this bill? I will. I'll start out by saying I'm going to support this bill and this and the two other bills regarding the villages and these revolving funds. I do recall, unfortunately, it's been a few years ago, inserting a provision in one of these appropriations that the bill or the appropriation wasn't subject to fiscal year limitations. And unfortunately, we've failed to remember to do that every single year. I think this is a better solution to that. As far as I'm concerned, the appropriations to the villages are for the benefit of the villages and for the village committees to determine the best use of those funds. And I don't want to put them in a position where they're approaching year end and they feel like they need to figure out something to spend it on. This allows them to let the money build up and spend it on worthy needs of the villages. So I'll be voting yes for this one and the other two. Thank you. Anyone else? Seeing none, Congressman Potts.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This bill and the other two that follow it will have many of the same arguments. To address the previous speaker, I don't believe that these are necessarily operating funds. It is part of an annual appropriation to the villages. However, we appropriate that money in the other line item. So it's not operations expense as defined by Osage law. And the reasoning for that, I believe, is that each of these villages has operational controls in place that were discussed in committees. And the reason I support giving them a revolving fund and setting them aside differently from other entities within the nation is they do have special recognition in our Constitution. Article 14 specifically addresses that. So these villages need to be able to utilize the funding from this Congress that they receive as support for their operations for whatever option or endeavor they have. And creating a revolving fund allows those to roll over from year to year. It allows them to have the operational autonomy to do whatever that community needs without us specifying this is what you have to do. It allows for more local control, and I believe that that's what we need. So I urge you to support these bills. Thank you.
Question is, shall ONCA 1917 pass?
Congresswoman Pratt.
Yes.
Congresswoman Stabler.
Yes.
Congressman Tillman.
Yes.
Congresswoman Whitehorn.
Yes.
Congressman Big Horse.
Yes.
Congresswoman Edwards.
Yes.
Congresswoman Goodfox.
Yes.
Congresswoman Lemon.
Yes.
Congressman Mason.
Yes.
Congressman Potts.
Yes.
Speaker Walker.
Yes. The bill passes. There is an alternate effective date. All those in favor of the alternate effective date passing say yes.
Yes.
Any opposed say no. Okay, the alternate effective date passes. ONCA 1917 is referred to enrollment. We'll move on to ONCA 1918, an act to establish a revolving fund for the Hominy Village, to authorize expenditures out of the fund, and to establish an alternate effective date. The sponsor is Congressman Potts. Congressman Potts, how would you like to proceed?
I'll close.
Are there any members who wish to speak for or against this bill? Seeing none, Congressman Potts.
Waive my time.
Question is, shall ONCA 1918 pass?
Congresswoman Stabler.
Yes.
Congressman Tillman.
Yes.
Congresswoman Whitehorn.
Yes.
Congressman Big Horse.
Yes.
Congresswoman Edwards.
Yes.
Congresswoman Goodfox.
Yes.
Congresswoman Lemon.
Yes.
Congressman Mason.
Yes.
Congressman Potts.
Yes.
Congresswoman Pratt.
Yes.
Speaker Walker.
Yes, the bill passes. There is an alternate effective date. All of those in favor of the alternate effective date passing say yes.
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 Any opposed say no. Okay, the alternate effective date passes. ONCA 1918 is referred to enrollment. Next bill is ONCA 1919, an act to establish a revolving fund for the Gray Horse Village, to authorize expenditures out of the fund, and to establish an alternate effective date. The sponsor is Congressman Potts. Congressman Potts, how would you like to proceed?
I'll close.
Are there any members who wish to speak for or against this bill? Seeing none, Congressman Potts.
I waive my time.
Question is, shall ONCA 1919 pass?
Congressman Tillman.
Yes.
Congresswoman Whitehorn.
Yes.
Congressman Big Horse.
Yes.
Congresswoman Edwards.
Yes.
Congresswoman Goodfox.
Yes.
Congresswoman Lemon.
Yes.
Congressman Mason.
Yes.
Congressman Potts.
Yes.
Congresswoman Pratt.
Yes.
Congresswoman Stabler.
Yes.
Speaker Walker.
Yes. The bill passes. There is an alternate effective date. All those in favor of the alternate effective date passing say yes.
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 Any opposed say no. Okay, the alternate effective date passes. ONCA 1919 is referred to enrollment. Moving on to ONCA 1922, an act to amend the summer health program and to establish an alternate effective date. I'm the sponsor, and I will reserve my time to close. Are there any members who wish to speak for or against this bill? Okay, seeing none, I'll waive my time. Question is, shall ONCA 1922 pass?
Congresswoman Whitehorn.
Yes.
Congressman Big Horse.
Yes.
Congresswoman Edwards.
Yes.
Congresswoman Goodfox.
Yes.
Congresswoman Lemon.
Yes.
Congressman Mason.
Yes.
Congressman Potts.
Yes.
Congresswoman Pratt.
Yes.
Congresswoman Stabler.
Yes.
Congressman Tillman.
Yes.
Speaker Walker.
Yes. The bill passes. There is an alternate effective date. All those in favor of the alternate effective date passing say yes.
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 Any opposed say no. The alternate effective date passes, and ONCA 1922 is referred to enrollment. Okay, we'll move on to agenda item 12, which is motions and notices. Are there any motions or notices? Congresswoman Stabler.
I'd like to make a motion to place Dr. Pat Tinker on Monday's agenda for confirmation.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion by Congresswoman Stabler to place Patrick Tinker on Monday's agenda for confirmation. It was seconded by Congresswoman Lemon. Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say yes.
Yes.
Yes. Any opposed say no. Okay, Dr. Tinker will be on Monday's agenda for confirmation. Congresswoman Whitehorn.
I have an inquiry. I don't know if it's proper to make here, but I was wondering if the speaker has looked at the legislative process timeline to, in the course of our regular session dates, I believe it ends April 22nd, as to when we have to have legislation over to the chief's office in order to, in case it gets vetoed.
Yeah, it's the 12th at 4:30.
So that would be this Friday at 4:30.
Yes, ma'am.
We've done a lot of work in the Appropriations Committee and has passed out legislation in the most prompt fashion that is available. So I'd like to move to suspend the rules, modify the agenda. Suspend the rules and request that bill number ONCA 1927 be placed on general order day 2 on tomorrow's agenda.
Second.
Motion by Congresswoman Whitehorn to suspend the rules and place ONCA 1927 on tomorrow's agenda on general order day 2 was seconded by, I didn't catch that, who was that? Seconded by Congresswoman Edwards. It's a rule suspension, there's no discussion. All those in favor say yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Any opposed say no. Okay, the motion passes. Any other motions or notices? Congresswoman Whitehorn?
Commerce, Gaming, and Land Committee meets at 2:30 p.m. today, 2:30 to 4:30 today.
Congressman Mason?
Health and Social Services will be meeting at 1 o'clock today with a very special one-hour presentation by the USDA, inviting everyone to come and enjoy what the feds want to tell us. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Congresswoman Edwards.
Government Operations is meeting 11:30 till 12:30 and 4:30 until 6:30.
Okay, thank you. Any other motions or notices? Congresswoman Pratt.
Move to adjourn until tomorrow at 10 a.m.
Second.
Motion to adjourn until 10 a.m. tomorrow by Congresswoman Pratt, seconded by Congressman Potts. Discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say yes.
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 Any opposed say no. We are adjourned until 10 a.m. tomorrow.